भारत देश की महिमा महान, भारत देश की महिमा महान। इसमें आते शिव भगवान, भारत देश की महिमा महान। इसमें आते शिव भगवान, जग का ये
Bharat come in the lyrics, and it's in praise of Bharat, and it describes the Bharat of Satyug and how Bharat is the highest pilgrimage place of all. So many things about Bharat, but one of the reasons why I think they chose to play this song today is because it's the Independence Day of Bharat, India. So, to all those who are from Bharat, congratulations for today. But of course, Baba's interpretation is a little different. Baba says how from the 1940s to today, if we see the condition of Bharat, it certainly hasn't been on the rise. In some ways, yes, but in many ways, no. And so the whole world is in Ravan's jail. The kingdom of Ravan exists across the world. There's a very lovely message that's come for third Sunday World Meditation Hour today. They usually send us one little sentence that describes the theme we should take up for Meditation Hour. And today it's a very, very powerful title, that sit in the consciousness of being the master bestowers of mukti. Now, God is the one who gives mukti, liberation, but Baba's actually given us this title many times, so you are the ones who show the way to mukti and jivan mukti. And so you are the bestowers of mukti. So the message for tonight was, you will be having yoga in your own places, but to be the bestowers of mukti, liberation for all, so that they experience liberation from the body, the old world, old habits, old samskaras. And the Murali today is, as usual, very powerful. And it's about not just finishing old sanskars and habits, but burning old samskaras and habits, and how if something is burnt, then if a seed is burnt, a seed is roasted, it won't bear life anymore, it won't reproduce, it won't multiply. And so samskaras, while they're still lurking there in different corners of the soul, situations come up and things may have been okay for a year or 2 years or even a few years, and then suddenly a situation comes and it flares up again. And so we ask Baba the question, why? And Baba's reply is, because you didn't burn that sanskar, you didn't finish it completely. So the Murali is a Murali for Holi, the festival when one day they have the burning of Holika and the next day then they have the colouring. And so most of us have been in Bharat during March. It always falls during March. February is usually Shivratri. Then a couple of weeks later it's Holi. And so we've usually been in Madhuban for this. And Baba's whole Murali is today not about the colouring. Very often Baba's holy Muralis are about colouring, but this one's about burning old sanskars. So how do we give liberation to others? First, we have to experience that ourselves. To what extent have I been able to liberate myself from all the old things? And I was given a very interesting topic last week, and it's very much connected with the state of liberation. I'll share with you the Hindi theme and then take it up in English, because the Hindi words go together. Dharna ka bal aur phal. The power you get from dharna and the fruit that you attain through the dharna that Baba teaches us in Sangam Yuga. And so, literally, just go through each one of the different aspects of dharana and you'll be able to see how Baba is really giving us power through that dharana. And as a result of that dharana, we're experiencing liberation, but also we're experiencing the sweet fruit that comes from whichever dharana it is. And so when we begin the journey of Raj Yoga, we talk about four main pillars. And so they used to show the picture of the yogi, and the yogi is seated on a seat that had four pillars. And so four pillars, firstly celibacy, purity, secondly pure food and drink, diet, thirdly pure company, and so satsang. But today that's interpreted in many, many different ways. What is the company that I have of the things I'm seeing on my screen, whether it's the television screen or whether it's the things that come up on my computer? So I'm doing my work, or there's extra things I'm seeing. And then the fourth one, the divine virtues. And so these are the basic ones. And then of course, if you look at the whole timetable of our Brahman life, right from Amrit Vela through till the night, everything has been created by Baba so that we're able to take maximum benefit of Sangam Yuga and experience the power and also the fruit here and now. Sometimes Baba says that when it's 21 births of liberation, Jivan Mukti, then the first birth is now. And so to what extent have I been able to come to that stage in which things may be happening all around, but I'm able to stay up above, experiencing that state of liberation that Baba wants to offer me today. And so just looking at firstly the four big pillars. And so the first one of purity, celibacy. And I was thinking that the power that this gives us is actually the power of freedom, to be able to be myself, who I am, without any dependency on anyone else. Without purity, there can never be that state of freedom. And so that state in which the soul's able to experience the sweetness of freedom. I was also thinking, you know, whoever were the people who created the political situation, they always talk about independence. They never talk about freedom. So it's not Freedom Day by any means. It is independence of a particular type, but certainly not freedom. And what Baba's giving us is real freedom. And so, firstly, just the freedom of being yourself and no dependency, but also the sweetness that freedom brings, to be able to really do what I need to do to fulfill my own highest potential. And in terms of relationships in Kali Yuga, at the end of Kali Yuga, you can see how much bondage there exists. And sometimes we will say that it's love, but it's actually the bondage of attachment that's there so strongly. But also imposition and control. And so certainly no space for freedom on any level. And Baba gives the soul the power to be able to make its own choices. When Baba teaches us karma philosophy, the interpretation of karma in the past has always been, well, this is what you've done, so this is now the result that you're experiencing, which is true, but it's only half true, because usually then there isn't that clear understanding of what my choices are here and now at this moment to be able to create the future that I would like to have. People talk about the karma in terms of the past, and yes, absolutely true, whatever I'm experiencing today is from my own past karma, but yet today, and of course where there isn't jnana, there isn't that power of choice, there isn't that understanding. But Baba explaining what karma is and how it works and the choices that we have and what we can do, and now karma becomes the key to be able to experience and create the future, to have the freedom to create the future that I would like to have. And so on one level you'll say it's just one dharana, but that one dharana has so much built within it that it really has huge repercussions in a beautiful way. And so that first dharana, and why it's the first and the most important, is because yesterday I was talking about without purity you cannot have yoga. True. Where there's the pull of the senses and body consciousness, then how is yoga possible? Where yoga is the opposite, detachment, detachment from the body, from the senses, being able to fly up above. And so the thing that's created the most controversy is actually, and why, we can understand why it created so much controversy, but we can also see why Baba emphasizes it so much. And a thought that sometimes comes to me is that if Baba wanted to be popular, does Baba want to be popular? I don't think so. If Baba wanted to be popular and just gather lots and lots of people together in the early days, it wasn't the right way to be doing it. But Baba is interested in truth. Baba's not interested in popularity, and Baba's come to offer real freedom. And so really Baba, Shiv Baba, totally focused on what his task is, but Brahma Baba also impacted so much by Shiv Baba's company, the two souls side by side. And so, you know, even if two people sit close, you can catch each other's vibrations. And so that's the bodies being close, but the soul sitting side by side. And so, of course, it's going to be totally influenced by Shiv Baba. And so Shiv Baba, only one task, only one mission, purification of Baba's children and the world. And so Brahma Baba also totally influenced by that, and not being bothered, not being concerned or upset or any upheaval by whatever else it is that's going on. And so in terms of our state of purity, relationships is one thing, but that real, real state where I'm not influenced by whatever else it is that's going on, and I can stay up above. Now, if I keep Shiv Baba close to me, possible? Yes, with yoga it's possible. Brahma Baba's role was not just the physical closeness or the inner closeness, but also Brahma Baba very consciously remembering Shiv Baba. And so we can do that definitely. And so keeping Baba close to us, to the point where Baba is able to influence us and none of the other things have any influence on us. And so that really is a very, very powerful blessing that we're able to receive from Baba. But that state of total freedom where I know where I want to go and I keep my vision focused there, and whatever are the karmic situations, well, Baba's come to help me clear all of that. And so that is the purpose why I'm here. So a question: to what extent am I settling my karma, and why am I still adding to my karma? Am I being influenced by the karmic situation to the extent that I'm actually again creating more karma along the way? And if that's the case, when am I going to have the opportunity to settle? It's very interesting for me to see how the UN climate change report that was published on Monday is not just a big, big wake-up call for governments and people out there, but I think it's also a big wake-up call for Brahmins, because we read about it in the Muralis, oh, this is going to happen, this is how the transformation will happen, there'll be upheaval, there'll be all this, but it's not that it's going to happen, it's happening. It's happening right now. So if I'm still creating karma, when am I going to have the opportunity to settle karma? It's really now or never. You've heard this slogan many times. You've heard the wolf is coming, the wolf is coming, and the wolf never came. But I don't think anybody is going to say the wolf is coming anymore. I think the wolf is right there staring us in the eyes. And so really a very important milestone that the planet has gone through to come to this point where we are on red alert. So that one dharana giving us the possibility of freedom. Freedom from all levels of influence, and the possibility of attaining that state of mukti and jivan mukti now. The second dharana, and you've heard the story of Dada Vishwakishore and how he used to carry, long before there were centers, even in South India, for example, There were only centers in North India and around the middle bit. South India was still green. Baba would send Dadavishwa Kishore, who was his right hand, on all sorts of missions, to do this, to do that, to do the other things for the yagya. Whatever big service there was in terms of the functioning of the yagya and the care of 350 people, whatever their needs were, all that was sorted out by this one individual. So that's the extent to which he was Baba's right hand. And he would carry a little kit bag. Daddy called it a kit bag. I assume it was something like this. But in it he carried a little stove, and he carried a little pot and all the things he needed to be able to cook something and offer it to Baba. And Indian stations always have waiting rooms, sometimes nice, sometimes not so nice, but what he would do would be to find a nice waiting room that was clean, nice in the sense of clean, and he would get whatever vegetables he needed, and he always carried a little bit of rice, a little bit of this and that, and he would cook right there at the station, and he would offer bhog, and he would then have it. Now, it's not just sattvic food and drink, but also the concern of cooking it in that highest consciousness, offering it to Baba, and having that himself. And I know that now we have many new children who've taken birth since coming, since COVID, so most Gyan on Zoom, and now some of you I'm seeing here personally. And I'm not sure whether you've heard that it's important to offer bhog at home. Hopefully that the whole home is free from any impure food. But to actually cook in Baba's remembrance and to offer it to Baba every day, so that the food that you're having is prasad, is the holy offering that's come to you from Baba. And we offer bhog here every day, of course, but also to be able to share with the whole family on Thursday and Sunday. But that whole system has physically kept us safe from any impurities. Imagine traveling in many places and not being impacted by food and drink. That's only possible because we cook our own food. But also karmic accounts. Whoever is feeding you, you have a karmic account with them. Not here, because it's food that's been offered to Baba, and so what you're having is Baba's food, it's from Baba, so you don't have any, I don't have any karma with you, you don't have any karma with me. But generally, where there isn't that whole awareness of cooking and offering and so on, it's huge, huge karma. Now, just one example of how huge that karma is. When in the early days there were people who were considered saintly and holy, don't mention names, but they weren't able to see the value of what Baba was doing, and they weren't able to support Baba in what was very clearly a task of liberation, a huge liberation at that time. And Baba's comment was that, and it comes in the Gita also, that the gurus of the day weren't able to recognize God's work because they were being fed by the Kauravas. And so people who are body conscious, people who are concerned with external things, prestige and all the things that happen in the world out there. So their food was coming from the Kauravas, and so they were impacted by them also. Now that's the extent to which food has an influence, not just on the level of consciousness, yes, definitely, but also on the level of karma. And so the dharana that we have in terms of offering bhog to Baba is finishing that karma. Whoever brings the food, it's for Baba, it's offered to Baba, and then it's shared. So no personal karma. And at home, again, yes, it's a family staying together. And of course, family is intimate, and so lots of karma there. And some of you sometimes come and talk about it. I must have huge karma with this individual. And it's true. How many births karma? Don't know. But where it's very deep, very intense, it's maybe not just the karma of this one birth, but a soul brought karma with itself. And how many past births karma is it that I have in this family situation? Who knows? But the point that if food in a home is cooked in Baba's remembrance, offered to Baba, we're not just settling the karma of the past, but we're actually offering souls the opportunity of coming closer to Baba through good food. I have a few stories about how good food can change the intellects of souls. And one particular story is someone who is very close to me, my father. And Daddy, there was a period when we were still in Tennyson Road at that time, not even Baba Bhavan. But my mother had gone away for a few months to Madhuban, Bharat. She wanted to spend time in Bharat. And Daddy would send whatever was cooked, fine, but sometimes she would just have the thought, it wasn't a regular thing, but it just kept happening. She would send Baba's food to him, they were living very close by. And I know that it must have been the impact of that food that gradually changed his mind, and he came to Baba totally from being somebody who had respect but was not interested to hear any gyan. Bhakti was important. How did the change happen? I couldn't believe it myself. It certainly wasn't through my giving gyan. He wasn't ready to listen to me. And of course he was seeing my mother's lifestyle and was very cooperative. But gyan? No. And he suddenly phones me and says, I want to go to India. I said, fine. He's always going to India for travel, for business. And he says, no, but I want to go to Madhuban this time. I was totally shocked. And of course, that one visit to Madhuban, and it wasn't even Avyakt Baba's time. It was out of season. And that one visit changed him, but it was the food, I'm convinced. So pure food actually changes consciousness. And so why I'm going into all this detail is just to underline, although it may take 15 minutes extra, and it doesn't take longer than 15 minutes, and maybe by the time you come home you're hungry, your children are hungry, whatever it is, but that 15 minute span is very, very important. To cook for Baba, so that I'm not cooking for what does this one like, and what does this one like, and what does this one like. What would you call that if I'm cooking because this one likes this? Attachment? Yes, I think so. But yes, of course. Baba would say cook very good food so that they appreciate it and they don't want any other food. They only want food that's cooked at home and offered to Baba, because you've made it very interesting and tasty. So Baba doesn't say, don't cook tasty food. Cook what they like. But you're cooking it for Baba. You're not just cooking for them. So I'm just seeing more and more the power we get from every single aspect of dharana, and the sweet results, the fruits that we experience from being accurate with every single aspect of dharana. So I remember going to a new country, and the invitation had come via a family. So it was myself and another sister staying with that family. And normally when gurus and people who teach go to these places, it was a Hindu family, they would be cooking for them, and they would be cooking for whoever else comes to meet them. So it would be like a big thing, a lot of work every time. And they were used to doing that. And this family was totally shocked when we said, well, we're going to cook for ourselves, but we're very happy to cook for you too. They were really shocked. But then when they understood about karma and all of this, they became Brahmins within a week. Literally, they became Brahmins that quickly. So, and I'm sure that was a factor of the food. Satsang, how am I doing with that? What is the company that I'm keeping? Everything I read, everything I hear is, again, influence, influence. So can I make sure that I'm protecting this little space where the buddhi lives, and I'm not allowing anything to shift that? Songs, music, what are the memories that they're evoking? Happy memories, sad memories, memories of human beings, memories of Madhuban. And so let me be very conscious in terms of my choices about what it is I expose myself to. And of course, in the Sakar Murali, Baba uses the expression cinema. Listen to the word again. Cinema, the mother of sin. Baba's interpretation of that was mother of sin. But now you don't have to go to the cinema to see all sorts of stuff. You can sit comfortably at home, and who knows whether you're doing your work or you're watching a film. But definitely, whether it's the pull of fashion, whether it's the pull of other types of body consciousness, whatever it is, it's huge, huge influence. So, satsang, when Baba says, follow the system of traffic control, follow the system of churning, keep your chart, keep your diary, do your journal, whatever it is, but just to be aware of what I'm feeding my intellect and to what extent I'm taking care of it. And the sweetness that comes from being close to Baba. I'm following the system, and it brings me closer and closer to Baba. The divine virtues, of course. If I don't follow the system of checking and changing and imbibing divine virtues, it's going to be an obstacle for me to come close to Baba. The way I say things, what I say, how I say it, to whom I'm saying things, if it's not filled with divinity, with spirituality, if it's just on the level of my sanskars and my reactivity, whatever impact it has on the other, but what's the impact on me? And definitely distance, distance, distance. And so when Baba says it's easy, sure, it's easy. And then when Baba says it's difficult, yes, it's difficult, because it just means being so alert, so aware. No hard work, but the constant attention, the consistency of that. And it's not even a question of one day lost and a lot is lost, but it's a question of 1 hour, or something happens and it's a trigger for old stuff. Well, a lot is lost. And so I've just taken up the 4 main things, but homework, Sunday. Churn and see how, from Amrit Vela through the whole day to the night, what is the dharana that Baba's given us Srimad for, and what is the power you get, and what are the results you experience. You can test it with your own results. It's not theory, but your own results will tell you what is the benefit. So we're going to offer bhog to Baba now and thank him for the freedom that he has given us, the mukti and jivan mukti here and now. And we fly to Baba.